Let's talk some college football. A lot of high energy going on right now in the locker room of the Florida Gators. And Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook 1010 XL Radio in Jacksonville, as well First Coast News and more, kind enough to make time for us each and every Monday. Brent, I hope your Monday is like that celebration with Dan Mullen and the team after the game for the Gators.
Yeah, even that didn't go over real well with Gator fans, did it, Chad?
No, not at all. It's one where, you know, but at this point, why not? Dan seems like the kind of guy that, you know, if someone's like, bro, you just hit it in the – you just shanked that, that tee shot, and you're like, yeah, but did you see it? I landed right in that guy's pool. Like, how cool is that? You're like, no, that guy's going to sue you. You broke his screen too. But when it comes down to Dan Mullen, it was one where I was getting blown up. I was at the UWF game because we played against Valdosta State, a team you know against, and beat them 61-42, and then the committee put Valdosta State over them, but that's regardless. But when it comes down to looking at Florida – I mean, 56-52 at halftime trailing. I'm not going to say he's smiling outside because he loves those players and the team, but Todd Grantham definitely can internally smile today knowing it was just him.
Well, they can't blame him with everything, can they? But I mean, my goodness, look, Samford's good on their level, but I mean, to allow what they allowed – And from basically the beat writers that I've read and heard from Chad, if Florida loses that game, he wouldn't have been coached this morning. Where they are, my understanding is that they're taking a wait-and-see approach. He's got two games with Missouri and FSU, and by the way, would it surprise you if he lost either one of them or both of them, Chad? But again, they're either going to pony up and spend a lot of money for a D coordinator, or they're just going to realize that, frankly, as far as the talent pool, that it's not going to get any better. See, they're 24 right now. In the 24/7 composite, and as we've said before, if they cut that in half, and they're 10, 11, or 12 at the end in recruiting, and again, I think we've discussed this before, but it bears repeating: if they cut that in half, and let's say they're 10, 11, or 12. Chen, how many schools are in front of them in the final rankings in the SEC?
It's unbelievable, and it's fallen off so quick. And I know Pat Dooley joined us, and you know Pat throughout the years, but he said, and it's true, and it's probably true for LSU too. But their best, both those teams, their best win is a close loss to Alabama, and you know that's not where a program wants to be. There are zero. Top 25 wins. I want to ask you the question, and we have sort of a guru when it comes to numbers. He is a banker, and he's also a really close friend and part almost family here. And Drew loves him as well. But Jeffrey D, one of our co-hosts, and he's a Florida Gator alumni. But he is actually he said that there's some rumors, and it's starting to pick up a little bit of steam with Lane Kiffin to Florida. What are you hearing?
Well, I can tell you for sure. From a Ole Miss contact that Florida is really where Kiffin wants to be. He loves Florida. He loves the sun and the water and all that goes along with that. So, if he had the chance to take the job, I don't think there's any question that he would do that. And he is... and look, he can recruit. You're looking at what they've done. That A&M loss was no fluke. I mean, they beat A&M basically by double digits, Chad, and that could have been worse than it was. But their defense actually played well, too. So they could do a lot worse than Kiffin. And again, Mullen's not gone yet, but the point of this is for the people who say, oh, why would you fire him? Who would you get? look, I appreciate Mullen and what he's done, but this I do know, there are better coaches out there. And Chad, it would be an understatement to say that there are not better recruiters.
No, and on top of that, too, right now, Lane Kiffin's stock's hot. It's like when Elon Musk says something positive about Dogecoin, and all of a sudden all these people go crazy. And I'm like, why didn't I make $1 million today? But when it comes down to looking at a guy like what we see in Lane Kiffin, there's a couple things here. A, he's smart enough. He's a smart man without saying it. You can read in between the lines of people that get it, but they don't say it all the times. Lane Kiffin knows, okay, even with Ole Miss, even if you pulled the Hugh Freeze card and you start getting, quote, Robert Kimdichis to come there and Laramie Tunzel, you've got Alabama. Nick Saban's not going anywhere. You got Auburn, who's getting stronger with Brian Harsin, I think is a solid coach. You've got Sam Pittman, Barbecue Pitmaster's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. He continues to win. Mm-hmm. So all of these teams, and even Mike Leach, greatest comeback in Mississippi State history pretty much this weekend. Yes. Those are the teams that there. I didn't even mention LSU's going to get better. You've got that whole entire conference. You could be solid and finish seventh in the West. Right now in the East, right now you got Georgia, and then it's you. And not only that, the third place team is a team more than likely that you want to beat so much that throws golf balls at you in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So if you're Lane Kiffin, everything adds up to say if this is there, they want somebody with an offense. If you get Lane Kiffin with Anthony Richardson, man, I'd go to practice. I'd drive to Gainesville to watch that practice. I'd love to see that. So how fun would that be? So I think that all the cards stack up in the timing for this to happen. And you know what, as an Ole Miss fan, I don't think you can be mad. And Drew, I know you had a question, but I think the scenario and the timing for this is perfect.
Well, it would be because Kiffin, I appreciate the opportunity at Ole Miss. But Ole Miss is not his landing spot. Lane Kiffin could be there for 2022, but what I've been told is that they don't think there's any way he'd be there in 2023. So, I mean, they'll be competitive trying to keep him and all that. He frankly would be a tremendous hire at Florida.
One coach who's also been in the news in regards to rumors is Jimbo, and I thought this was interesting. I read reading this morning, he basically said he'd be the dumbest human, quote, dumbest human, to go to LSU given what he's got going for him at Texas A&M. Brent, is this one of those things where jumping from one SEC team to another, not just that, but in the same division, is that something that is – you know, would be frowned upon, I guess, if you were Jimbo Fisher and you decided to do that?
Well, as incestuous as this league has gotten, which you would have never thought that would happen 20, 30 years ago, but it will today. Now, I saw the press conference today, and he did everything except get on top of the desk and dance on it. to convince people that he was not leaving. He did make a good point. He said, look, I'm recruiting a really, really good class. So why would I go to LSU after I recruited that class and have to play the guys that I've recruited? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's illogical, but look, all three of us know logic does not fit in very much with what goes on in this league. But I think it's pretty obvious that they are doing all they can to LSU is to make Fisher turn him down. But my question to both of you is right now, look, I know the power of LSU and I get all that. But at this point, with the money and unlimited resources from all that old money, the players that he's got right now, I mean, if he stayed at LSU in a year or two with the way these recruits are coming in there, I mean, wouldn't he be as good or better at that time, even the whatever LSU could do?
Yeah, I think you would think that, and I think that's – I mean, he just landed the number one recruit in the country, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, he's really got a good thing going for him, and then, I mean – in terms of circumstances, you still get to play Alabama. You still get to take on Nick Saban. You've built it up. You know, College Station is fully, you know, embraced as an SEC town now. And of course, you have Texas and Oklahoma brought in there as well. I feel like there's not, I guess, a big enough reason to really want to leave there, I guess, especially if you're, you know, staying in the same situation in the division.
The only thing that might stop that would be, is LSU his dream job? Now, we know when Jimbo was at FSU that he loves to flirt with these other jobs. I mean, that's some of his DNA, and some coaches do, and I get some of that. But I think he probably stays at this point. Again, it's really finally turned for him to where he's got his own kids. He's done well. He knows what he's got coming back. Basically both those quarterbacks are coming back if one of them doesn't transfer. So I think what I'm saying here is he, for the first time, he's got as much and or more than he's got at A&M than he can have at LSU.
One more question that I got for you. So I was hearing this on Feinbaum earlier, Greg McElroy, and he was talking about this with Paul, but whether or not the SEC should go to a backloaded schedule, because a lot of the games that are on the top of people's, I guess, checklist, if you will, of games week in and week out have been Big Ten games over the last few weeks, and how the SEC is playing. I mean, Alabama's playing New Mexico State. Like, nobody's watching that game unless you're a true Alabama fan. And Florida's playing Samford, of course. You have other games that don't stand out as much as a Michigan versus Ohio State or a Michigan State versus Ohio State like we got coming up this weekend. Is that a good idea for the SEC to do that? That you have tougher games later, and that presents more and more to the committee, obviously, I think, who is determining their rankings in the back half of the season anyways. It's not like they start at the beginning of the year.
Some of this stuff can take care of itself because Oklahoma and Texas are coming in for one thing. And then the other thing is going to be I was at the Georgia-Florida game, and Greg Sankey was there, commissioner of the league, and he basically was having a impromptu press conference in the press box. And one of the things that he said, and also has been written as of late, is a fact of the league wants to do something to where instead of Alabama and Florida playing once every 10 years in Florida, in Gainesville, that they do something to get that to where they would play maybe every 5 years. So, see, those are the things that are going to have to happen, I think, with the two expansion teams coming on, for one, and then two, just to rectify the schedule, that will probably actually get the benefit of what they want anyway.
He's Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, 1010 XL Radio in Jacksonville, as well First Coast News. Brent, always great stuff. No matter what, at the end of the day, the only thing I care about is that your twin brother is going to photobomb Nick Saban in a title game. That's all I care about. So
absolutely. And listen, as I go, what a humongous win for Florida in basketball over Florida State yesterday, breaking that string that went back, what, Chad, 2013 or whenever that was. He's the best performance for Mike White team in a while.
Yeah, so much. And to tell you, we got like an expert over here, a walking encyclopedia for college basketball. Drew, he went to Butler, and so he's from, you know, college basketball country. Every time we talk about it, it's, you know, you see the kid lighting up under the Christmas tree for presents. So we're excited for college basketball. And we know college football is king in the South. But when things start to get into November, it's in November, look at me. But into December and January, we're really looking forward to talking college hoops with you. So
absolutely.
All right.
Can't wait, bud.
Absolutely.
Thanks much.